Well, good morning. I would love to hear what are some of the things that you have taken away? This is the last day. What are some of the things that have really stood out to you so far from your time at Boost? What are some things that stand out? I'm going to tell you some of the things that stand out to me, but I want to hear from you first. What stands out at this point? Turn to your neighbor. One thing that stands out that you are taking away at this point. Turn to a neighbor. You have 1 minute. Go. Did you take away? What are some of the things? Who'd like change is inevitable. Great. Thank you. What else? Change will hurt. Thank you. We fear the pain more than the change. Yeah. Thank you. What else? What's that? He is with us in the change. Yeah. Thank you. Excuse me? Got to have anchor points. Yeah. Anchor. I was like, wow. I don't know where that one was, but anchor points. There we go. There are some anchor points maybe along the way too. Separate issue. All right. Good. Yeah. Awesome. Those are important takeaways. I love that you've been able to wrestle through and think through some of these issues. Mine are a little bit different category. When I think about what I take away, the first thing is you all are cruel. Because the number of you that came up to me, I told you I have needle issues. The number of you that came up and told me stories about your needle experiences, it's just mean. It's just cruel on that. How many of you, I think you were trying to see if I would actually pass out in front of you on that. That's the second thing is I love that you love prizes. So many of you expressed a desire and a question, are there going to be prizes today? Yes, there's more prizes for that. So who said anchor points? You're getting the first prize on that. I love the anchor point. There we go. Oh, that's it. Well, I love that you couldn't have a better segue to what we're going to be talking about today in prayer. Lord, I will follow. But how do we follow if we're not listening to where the Lord is guiding us and directing us? How do we listen? And there are a lot of amazing individuals that have written a lot about prayer and written it from a theological standpoint. And I just want to be abundantly clear. I am not a theologian. I am a practitioner. And I'm trying to figure out, so how do we actually do this in our life? How do we actually lead with prayer? What does it actually look like? So today we're going to get practical. What are some tools? What are some techniques? What are some things that might equip us to listen more? If we want to follow Jesus, how do we listen more to Jesus? And what is the role of prayer in all of this? And I mentioned that we went on a journey to learn from others about this journey of prayer. And these are some of the individuals that we listened to as we went around the world. As we talked about yesterday, we started by looking at the prayer life of Jesus, and there is so much to explore there. But then we also expanded our search. And the work that I do with Hope International has brought me into homes and places of worship around the world. And there is a different level of prayer that I have experienced in other parts of the world. And we just wanted to listen and learn from them. And some of them, I mean, we talked about Johnny Erickson Tata yesterday. Some might know Francis Chan. Some might know Terry Looper or John Mark Comer. We interviewed individuals and asked them, teach us about your prayer life. What is it? For me, early on, I remember being in the Philippines, and on the agenda that we had, I arrived in Manila, and we were given the agenda for the week, and the next morning it said, Dawn Watch. Now, what would you think Dawn Watch is? I'm thinking sunrise, right? I'm thinking amazing. And Philippines, there's a lot of beautiful places to watch the sunrise. So it was probably 5 a.m., they come to where we were staying. We go and we arrive at a building. We go in the building and there's no windows in the room where we are. I'm like, Dawn Watch is not what I thought Dawn Watch is going to be. On the ground were small mats on that. And the staff was there. Turns out Dawn Watch was not literal. They start every day on their knees in prayer as a staff at 5 or 5:30 in the morning. And I remember thinking, this is a different commitment to prayer. This is a different experience. And will I get to see a sunrise at some point while I'm here? But it was, to me, just one more of these glimpses into the vibrancy of the global church and the prayer lives. And so we wanted to listen to individuals and learn what is it that we can learn. But I'd love to first hear from you on this. When you think about prayer in your own life, who has modeled prayer for you? Where have you seen, where have you experienced it? If you were going to do a research project on vibrant prayer lives, who would you talk to? Where have you seen? Turn to your neighbor. 3 minutes. Tell the story. Where have you seen prayer modeled in your life? 3 minutes. Turn to a neighbor. All right. I would love to hear. Where have you seen it modeled? Where have you seen it modeled? And this is where there are prizes again. I'd love to hear from some of you. Where have you seen? What were you talking about? Who said at home? Yeah, say more. Where at home? Supper time at bedtime. Your dad, that's great. Thank you.
Was Miss Mary. And it seemed like she was able to cut through everything. Like, even in math. Like, or anytime someone walked in and said their grandmother was sick.
Wow.
We got to get the opportunity to breathe.
Yeah.
Time. It was never a question.
Right. Immediate and spontaneous. Yeah, that's so good. And that was your fifth grade teacher? Yeah. Right. Wow. Right. That's beautiful. Yeah. And that's you remembering that when you were a fifth grade student. Yeah. I mean, Miss English, that's great. What did she teach? I was just wondering. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Prayer. Yeah, that's it. I was going to guess English, but whatever. Yeah. Good. Yeah. What else? Yes.
You need time to go out like a box.
Wow. It's just a conversation. Just spills out. I love that. You said that your brother-in-law. Wow. Have you thanked your sister for welcoming him into the family? That's great. Awesome. Couple more. Where have you seen this?
Another pot.
Wow. Awesome. Where have you seen this? Did any of you talk about an example of someone that you have worked with?
Didn't talk about here. Did she talk about?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or just struck me, we would be dealing the thing around the world, right?
Right. In that moment. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. In that moment. I mean, that's a similar theme, isn't it? Several of you commented on that. It's like in the moment, not saying I'll pray for you at some future point. Anyone say, I'll pray for you and then forget to pray for you? In the moment, let's do it right now. I love those examples. Yeah, fantastic. Any other that you've seen? Any other in a work environment where you've seen this modeled? Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Anytime, anywhere. Love that. Yeah. Awesome. We have a lot to learn from our global brothers and sisters, don't we? Fantastic. Thank you, Galen. Well, again, so our model was just to pick up the phone or go and visit these individuals. And as we started listening and learning from them, we realized that every single one of them would say that prayer is a journey. No one said, you know, I just, from the time I was a kid, I just knew what to do. Every single one said it was a journey of deepening the roots. And every single one of them in their life and service, I would argue, there is incredible fruitfulness in their lives and in the way that they serve. But it is because it is nurtured by deep roots. And prayer is just this journey that they described. And one individual, Rosabelle, started out, she was telling us that her journey with prayer, she said, when I was younger, living in a war zone, she has had so many challenges. But she said, I literally had no money and I couldn't tithe. And I asked the Lord what can I do? I can't tithe my money. I'm not earning anything. And the response was, you can tithe your time. And so she has spent 2 hours a day in prayer ever since she was a teenager in that. And just, again, so much to learn on that, but roots that grow deep. And many of them, it started with this belief of, yes, prayer matters. But then how to do it, actually prioritizing it in their life, making time and space for it, and then modeling it for those in the organization, and then multiplying it, creating not just for their life or their family, but then spilling over. And every single one of them is figured out what it looks like in the workplace to be leaders who pray and to change the organizational culture. And I want to share a few things that we learned. I want to share three things, and then I want to share about some of the things we learned about what happens when people pray. I want to share a couple practical invitations, and then what we heard from them about the impact. And so the first thing that we heard, and this mirrors perfectly what you already have shared, but one, pray continually. This is not just a once and done conversation. This is something that is ongoing. It is spontaneous. It is woven. And after we did this research, this is one of the things that we've changed at Hope. No longer do we say, we'll pray for you. Like, do it in the moment. Is it okay if we just take a moment right now and do it? Board meetings, we're going to pause before every decision, not open the meeting and close the meeting. We're going to weave it into the day-to-day, into the moment-by-moment. And it's really just this idea about abiding in Christ, this idea about having as an ongoing conversation in the day-to-day, not once and done. And we heard it in different ways, but listen for some of the ways that this theme was expressed. The first person said this: when we're praying, when we're talking to the Father, we open the day in prayer and don't say amen. We leave the phone off the hook all day. Isn't that great? I love that. Don't say amen at the end of your morning prayer time. Don't say amen. Have it as an ongoing conversation. Another one said this: I'm praying on the go. Another one said, I'm always speaking to Jesus and I carry my prayer room during the day. I bring it with me in that. Another person said, it's minute by minute basis. Father, what do you think? It's attentive. It's active listening. It's bringing the presence of Christ into the work that we do in a listening posture. And this is nothing new. This has been around for a very long time. But until we were doing this research project, I had never read Brother Lawrence's book, The Practice of the Presence of God. But if you have read that, you know that's basically the same theme. It's your experience doing dishes will be a different dishwashing experience if you do it remembering the presence of Christ in that moment. Making shoes will be different. And I would say your work will be different if you do it in relationship with the presence of God in the day-to-day, in the work. And one of the simple things that we did was found, what is the most mundane activity that you have today? And how could it be different if you do it aware and in conversation with God in the moment? It will change your experience, bringing God with us in the work that we do on that. I like how Anne Lamott said this. She said, if you don't know where to start, here are two great prayers to pray throughout the day. Help me, help me, help me. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Those are great prayers to have on our lips and in our heart as we go about the day today. So that was the first one. That was the first thing that every single person talked about, moments of deep prayer and focused prayer, but it was woven beautifully into the day-to-day activities. That was the first thing that was a consistent theme, and it has changed some of the ways that we have experienced prayer in the day-to-day. And again, I love that we heard that. Fifth grade teacher, Mrs. English, bringing it in that moment, just praying, being led in that moment in prayer. Second thing that we heard again and again was this idea from Psalm 63:8, but my soul follows hard after you. And basically, like, it takes work. Prayer doesn't necessarily come naturally. And we work on things that matter to us. How many of us have a plan this year for our organizations? How many of us have goals that we are after? How many of us have spent time with our leadership team saying, this is what we want now? How many of us have created our prayer plan for this year? We were talking to an individual who is the chaplain for the Miami Dolphins, and he talked about working out with these athletes and I mean, it was clear. He is not just the chaplain. He works out with these athletes. You know, one of those people, you shake their hands and you're like, where'd my hand go? That he is, I mean, an incredible athlete himself. And he talked about how when they show up at the gym, you know what they don't do? What do I feel like doing today? Maybe I'll do a few curls. Maybe I'll do a little bit of jogging. No, when they show up at the gym, what does every single one of them have? Plan with laser precision about how much they're lifting, apparently. They are constantly working the plan to make sure they are in great shape for their sport. And he was struck. He said, I just wanted to create a way of having that same intentionality, not for training the body, which has value, but for training the soul. And so he said, let's create a plan so that we can train our soul in that. And again, this is nothing new. For the last 1,500 years, the church has been talking about a rule of life, simply saying, what are the things that we want to do on a daily, weekly, quarterly, annual basis? And until working on this project, I never had created that for my own life. I could tell you about the goals and plans for Hope International. I could tell you about the goals and plans for all kinds of different categories. But for the first time in my life, a simple template that says, what do I want to do to train my soul? What do I want to do to grow in prayer? And what are the habits and practices that I want on a daily, weekly, annual basis? And I appreciate how John Mark Comer says this. He says, following Jesus has to make it onto your schedule, or the odds are it will not happen, or it will be sporadic at best. And that was my experience. It was sporadic at best. But creating the plan, you know what we don't have in today's world is bell towers. In Europe, what were they used for? They were used to invite people to remember to pause and pray. But we don't have bell towers. But do you have any way of having a reminder, just like periodically remind you of something? We have a mini bell tower in our pocket. Did you know you can set reminders on this phone? on a simple way. But again, it's like we schedule what matters to us. And for the first time in my life, there are reminders and there are times that remind me to say, pause, remember, in the busyness of everything, pause, remember. And so that's really it. Create a plan. And if you've never done it, I encourage you, try it. Calendarize. Give yourself times and whatever it is that you want to do in a daily, weekly, quarterly, annual basis, put them on your calendar now. You know what I never had done as well is take 24 hours with no technology and a time to listen well. And you know what I found? It is really hard to do that. Like to break the addiction, and it takes a little bit of time to get the RPMs of our heart to slow down. And it's a different experience. You know what I also never did? Our global team fasted regularly. That was never part of my experience. But there's some incredible connection between the body and the soul on that. And so for me, it doesn't matter what it is, but it's that intentionality individually and corporately to say, if this matters, what are we doing to make sure that there's time and space for it? And the third thing and final thing that we found from every single one of them is whatever your experience of prayer is, there is so much more to explore. There is so much more to explore. And as we started having these conversations, there were some things that we heard and we tried, and we'll probably never do them again. And there are some things that we tried, and it was really meaningful, a meaningful experience for us. And those things that we will do forever. But we started looking at Scripture. And do you realize how many more invitations there are in Scripture to be creative with our prayer life? Do you know how many different ways there are? And so whatever your experience in prayer is, I just think there is much more to explore. And there is an invitation. There is an invitation to say, let's explore this more, even in terms of the physical postures. I thought it was bow your head and fold your hands. That's the only legitimate posture. You can't do anything else on that. And then you start reading in Scripture, and there's so much more. There's so much more to explore. Prayer walks have become a meaningful experience for us to go and to have our eyes open, not our heads bowed, but to have our eyes open and to see the things that God had created. And there's just so much more to explore. And so this idea of these three things, and I think if you want to follow God, this would be my advice. Prayer matters. Give yourself time and space to listen well. This is from the Puritans. But the next, and engage in scripture. Listen well and watchfulness. The attentiveness to God's Spirit. Watch where God is on the move. Watch what God is inviting. And when we have this prayer, scripture, and watchfulness or attentiveness, it is really, I promise you, every single one of us working on this book, it has changed our lives in very specific ways to be much more attentive, much more spontaneous, and much more willing to create time and space, not to listen to what we want to do, but to say, God, today is yours. Where would you lead me? Where would you have me go? Because I will follow. That has changed our experience. And so what happens when people pray? What happens? I want you to turn to a neighbor on that. What do you think studies have found about prayer cultures at organizations? What happens when people pray? How does that shape organizations? How does that shape people? Turn to your neighbor. 3 minutes. What happens when people pray? Happens. And again, the crazy thing for me is that research literally was done on this, not from a Christian standpoint, but looking at what is the impact on organizations that develop a prayerful culture. What do you think? What's the impact? What happens when people pray? Excuse me? Culture of humility. Awesome. Exactly. Yeah. Why? And what do you think the connection is? Yes. Yeah. I want God's will, not my own. We can't do it on our own. So good. Yeah.
Insufficiency
and boldness. Isn't that an unusual combination? I love that. Insufficiency and boldness. Say more on the boldness. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. That's it. Awesome. Great. Thank you. Yeah.
That's not to it.
Yeah. Sustenance and spiritual authority that comes when we listen, we pray. So good. Yeah. What else? Yes. Put God in control. Oh, wow. Thank you. But what if you really like being in control? Good. Good, good. Yes. Good. What else? Reduces anxiety. I can't give you any more books. You have been a winner. Great. What else? Enables you to take risks. Exactly. So good. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Allows you to see more what God wants with the organization. I have no more books, but good news. I have a prayer hammer. All right. Oh, wow. Sorry. One more. I hope it's someone in the back because I got one more prayer hammer on that. Yes. Anything else? Yes.
My eyes out. It's been many years of preparation.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So good. So good. So good. So good. Yeah. Relationships with others. It changes the experience. So good. There are so many benefits. And I love where you went in your answers. The research that was done found something a little bit more, again, because they were not looking at it from this standpoint. But the first thing they found is that among organizations that prioritize prayer, 78% feel less stressed in their day-to-day responsibilities. Isn't that cool? Like, and it's true. When you carry each other's burdens, the burdens are lighter. It changes the relationships with others, and it aligns more to the organization's mission. There is more alignment about what you're going after when you're actively and intentionally praying together. And I have to tell you that this is not just in Christian organizations. We were not allowed to include two stories in the book that I'm so disappointed. There were two Fortune 100 CEOs that told us their story of developing a prayer culture. Is this recorded? Oh, I can't tell you who they are on that. But literally 2 weeks before the book, the rough draft, you have to get, if you tell someone's story, they have to sign off on it. These individuals signed off on their story like literally 2 weeks before the manuscript is due. They're in there, and incredible stories, like places you would, brands you would know, and organizations, you would think they have a vibrant prayer culture there. No way. And turns out not only did they have to sign off, their legal teams had to sign off as well. And they did not allow us to include their stories. And I'm so disappointed because it stretched the imagination. This conversation about being a person of prayer, creating a culture of prayer, can be practiced anywhere. It might require a little more creativity, but it is possible in every single place of work. And those two stories significantly stretched the imagination of what that could possibly be in that. And yet we weren't able to include them, but I just think there is more to explore for all of us. And while this is all good, I think there's one other key piece, which is I believe that prayer matters, not just for what it does with our organization, but in some absolutely amazing way. Prayer changes us and prayer changes the world. And again, I am not a theologian, but one of the things that we studied were the incredible movements throughout history. And did you know every single one started in prayer? Every single one that we found had a commitment to prayer and its cousin, repentance. That was upstream from the most amazing things that happened. One of them that we researched was this individual, Nicholas von Zinzendorf. Anyone know who he is? Started the 100-year prayer movement, he and some other individuals. And do you know where it started? Ostravia in the Czech Republic. And I was in Prague after the book came out, and I was there with my son. He was 19 years old. And I said, Keith, we're in Prague. We have an extra day. Let's go to the birthplace of the 100-year prayer movement. He said, are there any other options of where we could go with this day? But we went to Eastern Czech Republic, and this is it. This is it. The Moravian Brothers Museum. But it traces the history of the 100-year prayer movement, and it is an incredible story. But it is the most, if you go all the way to, you're going to be disappointed at the actual museum. It's one room, but what is absolutely incredible is they have captured some of the prayers from the individuals facing incredible religious persecution. And did you know Moravian Stars are like a business as mission? That was how they funded their missionary movements. I had no idea on that. But it was incredible to go and to read their prayers and then to trace the line from what happened as these individuals are praying prayers that were impossible. They were bold prayers that were never going to be achieved in their lifetime. They were praying for global issues. They were praying for things. And then you actually trace what happened, and it created all of these unbelievable movements around the world. It is unbelievable to see what happened when this group of individual prayed prayers. And for me, one of the key pieces is I think I've been praying way too small. I think I've been praying for way too small things. I want to pray bigger prayers. I want to pray prayers that are impossible in our lifetime. I've been praying for my great-grandchildren. None of my kids are even married on that, you know, but like, let's extend our timeline. Why not pray for revival in our day? Like, why not pray that our workplaces would be radically reshaped by the good news of Jesus and that people would be drawn? Why not pray bigger and bolder prayers? Why not? And I think this key piece is maybe a little bit of fear, but I trace what happened throughout history, and I think God delights. I think God delights when his kids make some bold requests, knowing that it's not us. It's not up to us, and coming before a God. So what would happen if we become people? Yes, let's grow in influence. Let's do it. Let's step into the opportunities that God has for us individually, for the organizations. Let's be bold. Let's step into that, but let's not do it without correspondingly. Let's be people who grow in prayer. Let's make sure that those lines do not deviate and we figure out what it looks like to bring those two things together. And if you are interested in actually taking the next step of what it looks like to be creating a culture of prayer, these are some of the steps that we found. First is we got to go first. We got to become a praying leader ourselves. One of the individuals that tried to start a prayer movement said, I felt like I was multiplying by zero because I had not done the work myself first to understand how I can prioritize prayer. So let's become a praying leader. Let's pray for those you lead. If you have an org chart, pray over your org chart once a week. Pray specifically for the people that you are working with. Build teams to pray with and for you. Do not go on the prayer journey alone. Do not do it. Invite others to go in on the journey. Model prayer, support staff prayer, gather consistently, devote people and places for prayer. I would say you should make prayer a line item on your budget. We elevate things that matter. Let's make sure that we are creating time, space, resources for this significant work. And I don't know what will be true in your organization or in your life, but after doing this research, I can say, God has changed us, has changed our organizations, and I think God would absolutely delight to do the same for you and your places of work as well. So I wanted to just do one real simple, and just if this is helpful, we can follow up. But this is just a QR code, all the tools, anything that's helpful. If you want to get the tools of how to create a prayer culture on that, make that available for you. You can also leadwithprayer.com. It's just all free stuff that are trying to be resources to create that prayer map or rule of life and a bunch of other things if that's helpful. But we thought it would just be appropriate in our last 10 minutes together if we just gave a little bit of time and space to not talk about prayer, but to actually give space to pray. So our friends are going to provide a little music, and I just would encourage you, give yourself a little time and space. And wanted to just encourage you, if you have not tried this, this is just a real simple prayer practice that has been helpful for me. But it connects to the physical posture on that. And I find that as leaders, we sometimes don't even know all the stuff that we're carrying. We pick up a lot of stuff along the way, and we hold a lot of things. And I think God invites us, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And in our world right now, I think we need to be receiving that rest. And so one of the prayer practices that we had is literally just very simple. You just start and you put your hands down and you just give a little time and space to say, God, what are the things that I've been carrying? What are the fears, the worries, the relationships, the circumstances? What are those pressures that I am having? And to let go. We don't realize all the things that we're holding on. And so give yourself a little time and space. What do I need to release? What do I need to let go of? And then after a time of that, you just turn your hands over and say, and what do I need to receive? I think God is such a loving, loving parent who wants to give his kids good, good gifts. And so receive, like literal, receive the peace, the rest, the joy, the love, the forgiveness. Receive what he has. And so just give yourself a little time and space if you feel comfortable. What is it that you've been carrying that you need to release? And then after a few moments, turn your hands over. And what is it that you need to receive today from God? Maybe it's guidance. Maybe it's direction. Maybe it's courage. Maybe there's something that you know as a result of this, some change that you know is needed to pray for the courage to do it. But just receive from your Heavenly Father who loves to give his kids good, good gifts. And then after a few minutes, we're just going to close in a prayer together. I hope the next few minutes are meaningful for you as you release and receive from our gracious God.